Jason Leisure is good at giving life advice. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. You should check out all the work that he's doing, no matter who he's covering for the Chicago Sun-Times. But we are getting close to the time where it's just going to be him and the Bears. But luckily, it's in the dark period of the NFL right now. Everyone's done with all their OTA stuff, and the players are out enjoying themselves all sorts of ways. It's been fun to follow Caleb on Instagram and seeing that he's out here in the world.
I want to know, Jason, if any of the following items concern you from Caleb Williams' Instagram.
Okay. Let him fly. Let's hear it.
All right. And by the way, Alex, Tanny, Lawrence, I know you guys are observers. If you want to add one to this list, really my first two are these. Number one, he's feeding a live rhinoceros. He's feeding a rhino. And so his hand is in there towards the mouth of the rhino through a fence, but still, that's an NFL quarterback hand. Does that concern you?
That's just available on the side of the road in some sketchy parts of South Florida. That's like just something you do on the way home from work, you know?
Really?
Not a rhino.
My kids have done that at Zoo Miami. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but no, I'm fine with that. I've let my children do that.
Okay.
You know the issue you need to keep track. I don't know if the zoos here, Brookfield or Lincoln Park, let you feed a rhino. That is a little bit more rare. But the issue that you need to worry about, from what I remember about the experience at Zoo Miami, the signage and everything, is if the rhino turns around, if the rhino turns its rhino hindquarters towards you,
it's
there's a big difference between being in the splash zone there and at the dolphin show at Brookfield.
Do we now need to get Ron McGill on this show?
Oh, if you could. Like, you think that highly of yourself, you can just get Ron McGill. He's not just a guy you can get, Lawrence.
I'm just saying that it would be fun. Like, it would
be amazing.
Could you hook us up, Jason?
Can we? Next time we're on, I think I might have met Ron McGill like once, and I don't even remember if it was in person or over the air. I want to say I was in studio sometime, and he was on the phone with us. But he's awesome.
So he's the wildlife photographer and the communications director of Zoo Miami.
Yeah, and he's a frequent visitor to the Lebatard show, and okay. And we're kind of in. I don't even want to say like satellite. Like we're in the same galaxy because of Jason with the Lebatard show
and Boog
and Boog. Right. So I guess you know what, maybe we are more satellite than I thought with Lebatard show.
Yeah.
And we love their content.
All right. So we're a no in terms of concern level on Caleb Williams feeding a rhino. All right. How about this one?
Speaks. Is this all from Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you going to this? Cause I've been out in Wyoming. So I've been kind of detached. I need you to catch me up on this, please.
Yeah, let's get through all of this. His Instagram stories have been, I love it because it shows that Caleb really does have an appreciation for more than just football, and he's okay sharing it, and he's out here traveling, and that's what, when you're 23 years old, that's what you should be doing. If you have the means, then you should go out here and see the world before training camp starts.
Is there a specific one that you want to bring up from his IG?
I mean, the rhino thing was the most interesting, but
wait a minute. This guy is out here traveling and having other interests?
Yeah,
shocking,
These
right?
These are the problems they warned us about leading up to the draft.
That's
not
right.
Not serious about football.
He went to a nail polish convention. That's where he went.
Oh.
No,
really?
I'm just kidding. No, just kidding.
That's fine too.
Of course,
but he seemed to enjoy Europe, and I'm not sure where he is now. But I'm happy for him.
All right, how about this one? Does this concern you? And this is more of a judgment issue. He puts the new F1 movie starring Brad Pitt right up there with Good Will Hunting and The Dark Knight in his top three films of all time.
I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen here, my friend. The only movies that. This Caleb Williams guy should be watching our Remember the Titans.
And Blues Brothers.
And Varsity Blues over by there.
And how about Brian's song?
And Blues Brothers, too.
How about Brian's song?
Yeah, he should definitely watch that.
Come on, Leisure.
Should be a weekly rewatch, my friend.
Two things on the bit. The accent is brutal. And then
it's supposed to be.
Brutal bad?
I thought so. And then Brian's
song. I'm
from here. I know. I'm just...
Was I way too long?
I don't know. Maybe it's at Wyoming.
Miami.
Yeah, Miami and Wyoming.
What are you doing in Wyoming?
What was I doing in Wyoming?
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. How do you like the Wyoming beard?
Everyone is actually on inside of the Twitch. They've been saying that the beard game is strong right now.
Yeah, it's only got a couple more days because I got TV this weekend. But
Can't you go on TV with a beard? I've done it.
This is a little too Wyoming for TV, I would say.
No, that looks good. You got a little Jared Allen in you, right there.
So what's in Wyoming? What drew you to go out and hang out in Wyoming?
I had a window where I could travel with my 14-year-old daughter. Everybody else had other things going on, and I wanted to find a place that I had never been. And it came down to, I don't know what you'll think of this, Lawrence, but it came down to Wyoming or Montreal. And two totally different types of trips, and I went with the Old West, you know, mountains and bears and bisons and type trip.
Well, obviously, like, we had talked about you maybe going to Montreal at some point because I speak so highly of it. I'm thinking maybe when the girls get older, you take them to Montreal.
I want to go now. I want to go everywhere all the time. I'm like you. I have, you know, 365 destinations a year that I'd like to go to. But we stayed in Jackson Hole, which is a little ski town. It was nice. And you got good proximity to Grand Teton National Park and Yellowstone National Park. Saw a lot of cool stuff. Saw some bears. Saw a mama grizzly and its cub in the wild. And saw a black bear.
That's awesome.
And saw a lot of bison. That's pretty common out there. I got a good scrape. You know, this is my rugged wilderness story. I got a good scrape, good gash on my leg from one of our expeditions. And by expedition, I mean that the rental car was a Ford Expedition, and I caught my leg on the door at one point and got a little scrape.
Boy, that's the kind of thing that could only happen in Wyoming. Am I right? Yeah.
Only there. That's their postcard. That's their slogan speaks. Only in Wyoming.
I mean,
only in Wyoming could you catch yourself in the leg when you're shutting your door to your truck.
Real talk. The national park system is an underutilized jewel for all Americans. My God. Go, people. Go.
Speaks. The Jackson Hole Airport is actually in Grand Teton National Park.
Wow.
It's actually on the property. It's, I think, the only one in the country that's like that. And we were just coming in for a landing from O'Hare. They got nonstops from O'Hare to Jackson Hole.
Wow.
And it was like landing in another country. Looking around, it was like, this is totally different. This is crazy.
I've never been. You're making me want to go to that one.
Yeah, you are. That's, like that's a very cool thing to have happen. So what is something Wyoming specific that you've done while there or seen while you've been there?
Probably the animals, and then I don't know if this is a racket or not, but carrying around bear spray. You have to have bear spray on your hip at all times, is what they tell you. I don't know if that's true, but I don't really want to find out if it's true. I don't want to find out the hard way. But what I learned was, I like a week before I left, one of my friends who's like my dad's age, who's an outdoorsman, Sherm Fields, he said, "Hey, if you're going out to Wyoming, you need bear spray." And I thought he was messing with me at first, and then I remembered, "Oh, this guy doesn't joke around about the outdoors. He's serious." So I ordered some bear spray on Amazon, like any normal suburban person. And then it occurred to me the day before I flew
that I'm you like, can't take oh. it on the plane.
Well, I know I couldn't take it on the plane, but I thought you could take anything in your checked luggage. And right on the TSA website, it specifically and definitively says no bear spray in your checked luggage. So I have this can of bear spray at home with nothing to do. I mean, I don't know what I'm ever going to use that for.
It's just in case Lance Briggs ever comes over. That's all.
And then when you get there, everybody sells bear spray, but it's not $40. It's $50. As you get more into town, it's $60. Now you can rent it, which this is actually, Lawrence, add this to your list of potential retirement ideas, because this is on my list now. Renting bear spray. Imagine the racket on this. Nobody actually gets attacked by bears. It's such a small percentage. Most of these bear spray cans that you rent out are going to be returned totally full. You could rent these out for next to nothing and still make a killing, because 99% of them you're going to be able to just re-rent and re-rent and re-rent. So while you are the weatherman down in the Caribbean with the stuffed parrot on your shoulder, I'm gonna get to have this beard. I'm gonna get to bring it back
No.
and rent out bear spray for $1 less than whatever the cheapest place rents it out for.
Now, there's three things I was told that I stand by. Never get in a battle of wits with a Sicilian when death is on the line. That's one. Never buy a tuna fish sandwich from a vending machine. That's two. Mm-hmm. And never rent bear spray. Always buy bear spray, Jason, and I will not be dissuaded from these things, no matter what.
Well, but what if it's $16 to rent a full can of bear spray?
Yeah.
Or $60 to pay for one that you have to throw out when you get back to the airport.
I'm trusting that it works. I'm trusting that the mechanism of my rental bear spray works. Give me the new stuff. Give me the new stuff. I've spoken. Hey, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I have a question for you. Yeah. Gus Edwards, Jamal Williams, Jeff Wilson, Ezekiel Elliott, Chase Edmonds, Amir Abdullah. These are the best names currently on the running back free agent market. Do you think one of them is going to end up making sense, or are they just going to go with what they have, trust youngins, and kind of play it by ear?
One or two of those guys, definitely the power backs, could get. I could see them being a late addition at training camp, like a late signing on the couple of days leading up to training camp. But the bigger question is any of those guys going to be better right now? And there's some big names, and it's so easy to fall in love with names and not remember, oh, those names aren't what they used to be because of aging. Are any of those guys going to be better than a very hungry, very well-coached, much better utilized Roschon Johnson and DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manongai? I would rather go with what they have, but I don't have any problem with giving one of those guys a shot. And if they show you something in training camp, I mean, you don't usually see it with the running backs. It's usually more on the line of scrimmage where you're going to get a defensive tackle or an interior offensive lineman who's still got something left and beats out one of your guys that you were planning on starting or playing regular snaps. But it's hard to see it happening at running back. I think there's so much fixation on these running back names that are available because so many of them are recognizable names.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember where those guys are at in their career.
Well, no, the good context out of you on the answer. Roschon Johnson is the apt comparison, probably not Swift or Manongai, right? So that would, and Roschon would make you think power back, like you said. I guess Ian Wheeler, I'm interested in if that kid is healthy again. I liked him. I liked his speed. I liked his upside. I don't know if Ben Johnson would, and we don't even really know if he's going to be healthy enough come training camp.
We still only know a little bit about what Ben Johnson likes. We can go off the offseason transactions, the signings, trades, draft picks, whatever. We're going to really see that crystallize as the depth chart starts to settle itself. And Roschon Johnson is so interesting because, yeah, he was only a fourth-round pick, but fourth-round pick for a running back is kind of high. It's usually a guy that you think is going to be a solid pro in this era, or at least in the year where he was drafted. I think it's trended a little better for running backs lately. But you don't know what he is. That's not a question. I'm telling you as a statement, you don't know what he is. I don't know what he is. The Bears don't know what he is. No one really knows what Roschon Johnson has or can be, especially after last season, which was just a total loss. I don't know how many snaps he even got last season off the top of my head, but I can't imagine it was even, 75. It wasn't much. He barely played last year.
I know that we've had a lot of fun with this hit, and if you don't want to do something serious, I completely understand. But I did want to kind of ask you and Spiegs about something, because one of the Bears' names clicked in a news item that came up a couple of weeks ago, and that's Manny Machado and his dealings with Big League Advance, which were some people that fronted him money for a percentage of his career earnings. And Jerron Dexter has, I believe, filed a lawsuit against them because he felt like it was predatory. Has he talked at all about this with you guys, or has it really just been the stuff that he has put in court?
I have not heard anything from him on this. I was in and out a little bit during the offseason practices because I was taking care of some of our Sky coverage in the interim, but I didn't hear any of this directly from him.
The whole thing is fascinating. So I'll just say that it reminds me of something that I covered. Like during the the CBA and the talk of not this previous one, but the one before that, between the players and the league, there were a lot of the people that were the player reps telling guys, hey, stockpile your money, save your money, because if there is a work stoppage, we don't want you to fold because the owners have all the money and there's not a big window for guys to make money in the NFL for the rank and file, not the stars. And a lot of guys ended up taking like predatory loans where you would see 20, 25% that they were supposed to pay back. And seeing that this is now, and I get it, like it's a hedge. It's a, hey, we're banking that you're going to make the pros or you're going to be a star. And I wonder if this is one of those unintended consequences for NIL and for baseball players, like guys being like, yeah, I need money to try and live as a minor leaguer. And yeah, I'm okay with giving away a percentage once I get to the big league and then realizing, damn, this is a bigger percentage than what my agent is entitled to.
Yeah, it's an awful, awful thing. It's full of predatory loans, as you mentioned. Fernando Tatis gave a huge chunk.
I said Machado, and I apologize. It is Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, there's Tatis, but there's others, and there's a lot of them Latin. I think, you know, there's... And so there's a lot of taking advantage of these guys going on. It's a brutal thing. And I didn't realize that Dexter had been involved in such things. Players got to be careful, don't they, Jason? Got to be careful with that new money, especially as they dream of that second contract, which is far from a guarantee in the NFL.
It's one of the things that I hope eventually NIL actually helps. Because if they get the money earlier... And they get it at a time when hopefully colleges have good educational structures around them about what to do with that money and how to handle it, that they, A, having the money, they wouldn't need to take, there wouldn't be as much impetus to take a deal like that, a loan like that. And B, they will be better educated on what to do with it. But the problem is that anytime anybody, including us, has money, there's just a line out the door of people trying to take it. And when you're 18 to 24, and typically a lot of these guys, a lot of professional athletes and major college athletes didn't grow up with a lot of money, and now they have a bunch, and that's hard enough to manage right there. But you've also just got tons of people who have this expertise in trying to get it from you. And that's a... Those are nasty waters to try to swim in.
So to kind of catch everyone up, Tatis signed with Big League Advance, which is a company, and he got $2 million. Like, they fronted him $2 million. And if he didn't make the pros, he didn't have to pay it back. But if he did make the pros, they were going to get 10% of anything that he made. So when Tatis Jr. signed his 14-year, $340 million deal, BLA is saying that he owes them $34 million
and he does. And he does if he signed it.
And Jervon Dexter had something similar.
I know Tatis is suing and trying to get out of it.
He is.
I
don't think he's going to be able to. But
He's going to end up probably having to settle. But maybe the publicity of it and word will get around, it'll scare some kids off from doing the same thing.
Yeah, maybe. And here's the numbers on Jervon Dexter. With Jervon Dexter, they gave him a one-time payment of $436,485.
God.
And now they want $1 million over the lifetime of his first deal to be paid back. So it's a really important point that you make, Jason, where guys have to be careful. And women too. Women that are getting the big money NIL, understand that there might be people that are coming for that money.
Very little of the attention that's going to come your way when you have that kind of money or potential to earn that kind of money is going to be, you know, charitable, philanthropic, you know, some kind of nonprofit that just wants to help. I mean, everybody is looking for a piece of that money. And when you throw out that Jervon Dexter example, Lawrence, $400,000+. There's nobody listening to this that thinks $400,000 is a little bit. That's a ton. That's a ton of money. And if somebody is offering you that and you don't have that, that's pretty hard to say no to. That's what makes it predatory. when the reality is, you talk about Tatis. I mean, what if that guy makes something like $1 billion over the course of his career? What if the next one of him, as salaries go up and up and up, makes something like $1 billion? Somebody is going to be able to front you $2 million to take $100 million out of your career earnings. But they're getting you at a time when you don't have anything. And $2 million is might as well be infinite. $400,000 is like you would sit there and say, well, that's all I need. I can just retire now. I mean, you wouldn't be right, but that is a crazy amount of money to you, but not to them who are preying on you.
Well, if you take half of it and then you put it into a good strategy that's going to get you 8%, you could actually survive off of that.
It's the same guy from Bobby Bonilla Day conversation from yesterday. I love when that guy comes back.
He's got thoughts about how you can grow your money.
That's a banker dude,
yeah,
right there.
Passive income.
Guy.
Just throw half of it into a...
That's Passive Income Pat. That's what we'll name that guy.
I like that.
Passive Income Pat.
There's some truth in what you're saying, but I don't think you're going to grow, 400,000 or 2 million to 100 in that time. You are definitely losing money taking those predatory deals.
Hey man, good luck shaving the beard. I know that's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult.
I think you should shape it up and do TV.
I'm going to miss it, Speaks. This is how I talk now that I've been to Wyoming.
It's better than Chicago.
How's that? Is that better? I don't know if that's even a good Wyoming accent. Yeah, all the Wyoming accents are just people that are there visiting.
So it's hard to do one. I understand.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm not going to shave it completely. I'm going to trim it down and make it, TV professional.
Go with the Amish chin strap like I used to have. You got an opportunity here. Shave everything except the Amish chin strap.
This is an opportunity. That's exactly what those predatory lenders say. You've got an opportunity here. This isn't stupid. You should do it.
Jason, have fun in Wyoming. Glad that you went on the trip. That sounds awesome. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
That was Jason Leisure.
Yeah.